is ensured by our adhering to the commands of God. Peace, a state of tranquility or quiet, freedom from civil disturbance, freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, harmony in personal relations, peace. You know, we sing in Sweet Hour of Prayer, no, not Sweet Hour of Prayer, but oh, what peace, take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what peace. Y'all remember that? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That same thing could be said with reference to following the divine directives of our God. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not follow the mandates and precepts of God. A lot of folks don't have peace. I trust that you do. There are troubled souls everywhere. People are popping pills in record numbers to try to still the troubles of their souls. Some try to recreate or entertain their troubles away, but it doesn't work. Others try to eat their troubles away. You know, when some folks get real trouble, they get real disturbed, they get real bothered, real unsettled, real agitated, real disappointment, and they just start eating. Chocolate chip cookies, oatmeal raisins, and candy, and all kinds of stuff. Fried chicken, macaroni and cheese. And you would not think, hey, is that because of the lack of peace that they are experiencing in their lives? Other poor souls try to exercise their troubles away, while still others try to booze their troubles away. Peace is an elusive thing. Individuals and nations, people desperately want peace, and many of those persons are within the body of Jesus Christ, the Church of our Lord, but they do not have it. And the reason they do not have it is because they have ignored the precepts of God. Try as you may, you cannot have true peace when you disobey God's commands. Now, whatever state, whatever condition you're in right now, you say, Brother Jones, I made a bad choice back down the road. I made a poor decision back down the road, and I'm suffering for it. What can I do? Well, you can't undo it. You can't highlight it and press the delete button. But you can be forgiven for it. Isn't that wonderful? God can forgive you, no matter what it is. You can't go back and change the past, but you can make a committed determination that from henceforth you're going to live differently. You can decide that you are going to rededicate your life to God through repentance, confession, and prayer. And then when you get a good ways down the road into the future, you can look back and say, man, I'm glad I made that decision to rededicate my life. Man, I'm glad I made that decision to repent of my sins. I'm glad I made that decision to confess, to acknowledge my sins, and to request the prayers of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm so glad I did that. No telling what would have happened to me if I had persisted in traveling the detrimental and dangerous and damnable and destructive path I was on. What might have been if I had not decided to change? There might be somebody here who's not a Christian and who wants to become one, who wants to become a part of the church that we read about in the pages of the Bible, the church that Jesus promised he was going to build, the church that he actually did build, the church of which he is the Savior, the church of which he is the head, the church for which he's coming back, the church that he purchased with his own precious blood. The church we read about numerous times in the pages of the Bible. You said, Brother Jones, I want to be a part of that church. I want to be in a church that I can read about in the Bible. I'm concerned not so much about being a part of the church that my grandmama died in. I want to be a part of the church that Jesus died for. Amen. You can be a part of that church. Well, is it real hard? Is it real difficult? No, it's not really complicated. It's not difficult to understand. Of course, it does require real commitment. It does require real dedication. But you can do it. If Jesus did what he did for us, what he requires of us pales by comparison. Jesus died. He suffered. He bled. He died. He experienced excruciating pain on that old rugged cross on the hill of Calvary. And he did it for you and did it for me. He died. He was entombed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. You know, something that's interesting, when Jesus made his advent into the world, when Jesus experienced the process of being born of the virgin, Jesus was born from a virgin womb. But not only that, this was at the beginning of his life. Jesus was born from a virgin womb, but Jesus was also interred at the end of his life in a virgin tomb. How do you know that, Brother Jones? Well, Joseph of Arimathea placed Jesus' body in his own tomb in which no man had ever lain. Isn't that wonderful? And he just borrowed the tomb for a little while. Didn't need it long. Didn't need it but for just a little while. Because early on Sunday morning, Jesus arose from the grave, conquering king. He died for our sins. He was raised for our justification. And every Sunday morning, every Lord's Day, we commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every time somebody walks forward and they are buried in the pool, when they come up out of the watery grave, the liquid tomb, they are commemorating, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when the guys assemble around this table, the thing you want to keep in mind, this is a memorial of the death of Christ, not a memorial of his resurrection. This is a memorial of the death of Christ. It's not a memorial of the return of Christ, but it is a memorial of the death of Christ. Not a memorial of his death, burial, and resurrection. It's simply a memorial of the death of Christ. Jesus was placed in that tomb, but he arose on the third day. That's good news. That's good news. And it's good news for you. It's good news for me. Believe it with all of your heart. Believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was triumphantly resurrected from the grave. And because of your faith, because of your belief, decide to leave your old way of life, to repent of your sins. Jesus says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you're going to perish. Paul said to the Athenians on Mars Hill, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. What is repentance all about? Well, it's a change of heart or mind. And it results in a change of behavior, a change of your ways. That's what repentance is all about. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to give sin up, turn sin loose, and let sin go today? And then, are you willing to confess faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. Will you confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue today? I hope you will. Upon that confession of faith, will you submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins, that you might arise from that watery grave to walk in the newness of life? You see, when you're baptized, your obedience culminates in baptism, but you are granted entrance into Christ. You are granted entrance into the church of Christ. That's not real difficult to understand, is it? Maybe you're here. This could be a pivotal moment in your life. What might have been will not have been if you do not decide to be obedient to the Lord today. Will you come, whether you are an unfaithful Christian or one who has fallen, whether you want to become a Christian, or whether you have some serious challenges facing you and you want to request the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ.